show that just opened last night, the Best of Broadway show downtown, and it has many more performances. The normal sequence here is for Waitress is 7:30 tonight, tomorrow night, Friday night, 7:30, and then two shows on Saturday and two shows on Sunday, 2 and 7:30 on Saturday and 1 and 6:30 on Sunday for the performances of Waitress, this show that is taking place there at the location formerly known as the INB, and now it has a new name that I've not quite assimilated, but we'll get to that. And one of the folks from that show, Stephen Good, is with me here. Welcome, Stephen.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for being here, and we're going to double down on the show in a minute. I first noticed it in an award show a year or two ago when there was a really moving song from this show then, and it seemed that the show Waitress had some substance, and for me to see it last night, that was borne out. It's a deep and important story and plot, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And halfway through the first act, I was thinking, and they're sending me a guy, and it's really a women's show.
Yep. I'm number four. Yeah. I'm technically the leading man.
Yeah.
If there is one in the show, but yeah. I'm number four on the roster, and below Jenna, our leading woman, and Becky and Dawn, her best friends.
And all the women's issues. We just had a production of Working around here, and the issues of jobs and bosses and all of that thing, those things. Yeah. But then the really, you know, deeper issues of being a woman, having a job, having a difficult husband, having a pregnancy, all of these things that get revealed right away. Mm-hmm. And it brings up, this is the kind of thing I should probably ask at the end of the interview, but this question, what do you call theater anymore? Is it comedy? Is it serious theater? I mean, all these elements, all of the entertainment, and yet all the depth that goes along with this show. How's it been striking you in your time with this show?
Well, that's coming from New York, that's kind of what a musical does at its best. Mm-hmm. Is it makes you cry, it makes you laugh, it brings you in with terrific music and performances and story, and I think Waitress does that so well. As a man going to see the show for the first time, you know, I was like, oh, it's Waitress. It's going to be, you know, it's more geared towards women. It's an all-women creative team, but I was in tears several times throughout the show, whether it was through laughter or through sorrow. But it does touch on such heavy issues, but is so well-balanced with humor. So, like Soft Place to Land, we were talking about that before. I think we're going to listen to this beautiful trio between the women who were just, you know, at the end of their ropes in life, but are there for each other and are supporting each other in the hardest times. And then at the end, you know, you have the diner owner come on and say, I'm leaving before I die of estrogen asphyxiation. Just a little thing. And as an audience, you're so ready to laugh. You're so ready to let that out. And
To break that tension of the difficulty.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Jenna's in a really intractable situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, made more intractable by you.
And
so, with shy of spoiler alerts of how much we want to talk about that, and then I also thought that, you know, the movie that came out in 2007 and then the musical that came out 3 years ago, and then right before #MeToo, so certainly that looms large over this because. Talk about your, as much as you want to talk about, of your inappropriate relationship with Jenna.
Well, I am, this takes place in a kind of an unnamed southern town. My character is kind of a fish out of water. He's from Connecticut, just moved to this town because of his wife, who got a residency. And Jenna finds out early on that she's pregnant by her, you know, terrible, abusive, emotionally and physically husband. And it's kind of trapped, and then she comes to her gynecologist, and that's my character, small town gynecologist. And he ends up seeing something in her that reminds him of how he grew up, who he used to be, who he really is, something that he may have lost. And she finds something in him as well. So they end up, some stuff happens without giving away too much.
Yeah,
but we have an all-female creative team with this, which is very rare for a Broadway musical. And so all of the physicality in our show is, if you notice, is initiated by Jenna, with between the doctor and her. Mm. And then you also have Ogie come in, who's a really a very comedic character about right before the end of Act One, and he's basically just driven to, he sings a song called "Never Ever Ever Getting Rid of Me."
Yeah,
he pursues Dawn, who and they end up having a really sweet relationship.
Yeah, too. And that feels really appropriate, even within the
stalkerish,
the stalkerish things of our times. It's kind of the side of stalker. But I will admit that you know, the doctor crossing the doctor patient line, that's pretty heavy, and that was taken on just right away in the show, isn't it?
Yeah, I've had a few doctors come up to me afterwards and say, "Oh man, that Hippocratic oath." I would be in so much trouble.
Yeah.
But you know, everyone in the show is flawed. You know, all the men, you know, all the women, they have their flaws and their issues, just like we all do. And it just very beautifully plays out in this show.
Well, it caused me in the second act to use the word Shakespearean about that. When in most great tragedies, there is just a mixture of everybody's human flaws that came together, just right or just wrong. That happened in that bringing in her baby, because that whole issue is it a pregnancy? Is it an inconvenience? Is it a crisis? And she's been refusing to bond with this thing inside her, hasn't she?
Yeah, but you know, there's a thing about being pregnant is and having a baby is you don't have much choice in the matter.
Yeah, and that's not even a spoiler alert to say that the baby wins, as babies always win, in that case of solving that problem in the best of senses. But still, I found really engaging in the show the sense of the plot that there were. I kept wondering how are they going to get out of this, because it really is a strong plot where there's no way out in many times through the show. You figure out how can this work out, and that's a very satisfying thing about this for those of us who never did see the movie, and so for me who just saw it for the first time last night. This is Waitress, which my guest Stephen Good is like you say, the flawed character, the hero, the villain, the everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, but certainly a pivotal point and a necessary point from a dramatic purpose for how the plot could go forward. Do you want to talk any more about how your character does that, advances the plot, without giving anything away?
Yeah.
Sorry, give you the hard questions.
I think that they find a real, these two very flawed people who are you know, not happy with their lives, who are kind of stuck, who feel trapped, you know, all the solutions that they could come up with themselves don't seem to solve their problems, and then they find each other. Mm-hmm. And it's unexpected. And it's shocking, and it's, you know, it's something that they both never thought would happen. But that's life, you know. You know, the best laid plans. Life will surprise you, and will give you solutions that you never saw, you never could have anticipated, and you know, you just have to be open to them. I think.
And you get your character gets to really change and grow up in the course of this, because you are so uncomfortable and weird and silly at the beginning. Is that is some of that your own stamp? Is that how they told you to do it? Talk about you at the beginning.
Yeah, he is neurotic is the best word to describe him. He's a very, very nervous, very uptight type of person. Total goofball, like a nerd, but not intentionally. He just that's kind of how he is. I think he's just full of anxiety in his life, and you know, which kind of makes sense that that he connects so well to Jenna, who is this, you know, working class, genuine person who gives it to him straight, you know, and gives it to everyone straight. You know, she's going through her thing, and you know, that's it. And so I think he's really able to slip into that. At one point before this, "You Matter to Me," he's telling her that he's not good at happy, He says, "Are you happy with your wife?" "No, don't answer that." He's like, I'm not good at happy.
Yeah.
I'm too neurotic. He's like, "But you calm me down. You make me feel peaceful and needed. And you're so beautiful."
So for you as an actor, that must be a real pleasure to be able to play this whole and transitioning character.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the music is so beautiful. Yeah, and he's so neurotic in the beginning. And then by the time you get to You Matter to Me, he's really changed. His energy has changed. Mm. And I think it's because of their relationship, because of what he's found in himself, because of what they found together.
Yeah. Actor Stephen Good. And I'm going to ask an impertinent question. How old are you?
31.
Okay, because in that time you've been an opera singer, you've been to Harvard, you've been to Moscow, you've written music, you've recorded rock albums. You're called a singer-songwriter, you're called a composer. are you sure you don't have an identity crisis?
Yeah, right. I need someone to calm me down.
Yeah, there you go. So talk about all of those things and how they fit together. Yeah. I guess on two levels. I think the wise aspect of creating a career for yourself, but then on the personal aspect of who you are and what you want to accomplish artistically.
Yeah, well, I went to school initially to be a composer. I wanted to write music for films. I just loved movies and loved the power that music could bring to the drama. And then through doing that, I played bassoon and I was a singer, and I had already auditioned for voice lessons. And in order to get a composition degree, I had to have an instrument, so I picked voice. Then started, it was a classical music program, so I sang four operas before I graduated.
So you were a late bloomer singer.
I sang in choirs and did all that stuff. But
nobody said, "Hey,
bands.
You have a great voice, kid, go be a singer."
No, not really. Yeah. It was something that I had to work on. Yeah. You know? And I mean, the opera was an incredible training ground to do it. My senior year, I got to do Il Conte in Le Nozze di Figaro.
Wow.
And that was just, and it was all Italian.
What a great quick grow up thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. A year in practice rooms, just going over it and getting it in my body, you know, working on the arias, the songs.
But all that bassoon playing didn't hurt just for musical chops.
Not at all. And knowledge. Yeah.
Yeah, that you had. So there was that intense musical part of your life, but now what about the thespian bug?
Well, it was through doing, I was involved with Shakespeare Santa Cruz. I was composing for them and doing a few plays, the Christmas season plays. And through doing these operas, I found that if I was going to pursue the path of an opera singer, I would live that life in a practice room and learning and building repertoire and developing this very specific style of singing that I found that my passion lied more in the storytelling, in the collaborative effort of the theatrical to tell stories and to create empathy on stage and share that with audiences. And so I decided that I wanted to pursue acting. So I applied for straight acting programs out of school that didn't have music. And
ended up at Harvard.
Yeah, ended up at Harvard, where the ART, where this show actually started. It workshopped there. So Diane Paulus, the director of the show, had just, she just won a Tony for Hair on Broadway. And it was like her third year there. And so I came in as a ART was known for its experimental theater, straight theater. And then I came in at a perfect time when Diane was there doing all these musicals. So I was able to step in and do, I did Prometheus Bound with Gavin Creel, who's going to be doing the Pometer on Broadway with Sarah coming up in January. And I did the workshop of Once while it was there, which is an incredible Broadway musical. And also got a straight theatrical training. It was through the Moscow Art Theater. So we had Russian teachers in the States, and then we trained at the Moscow Art Theater for 3 months. We're Stanislavski's home, so that type of technique. Then it's just been a path of, and then you carry all these things with you. These the rock bands I played in. I'm a guitarist, and the composing, it stays with you. And with theater, with acting, you can bring all of that to your craft. Mm. So like for my Broadway debut was in Escape to Margaritaville, where I understudied the lead actor who played 13 songs and sang them on guitar and performed them while he was on stage. So my guitar chops landed right into the acting career.
So that I'm going to extrapolate out of what you just said, that therefore you you have a sense of ease about your future, that you have a lot of possibilities, that you don't have to just frantically grab at every job, but that you can make probably some choices in what you want to do for the next 20 years?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of actors get into the business thinking, oh, I can do anything. I can do this. Mm-hmm. I can do that. I can do that. And that's probably true, but you should focus it, because you're not going to do everything.
No.
And maybe eventually, but right now you need to do something. And what is it that you want to share, or that you have to share with the world? And that comes from self-awareness, you know, which can take a while to develop. But I mean, it's a crazy path, but it can be very, very rewarding, very challenging, you know, just like anything
else. So for now, defining yourself as a Broadway performer is working just fine.
Yeah. Well, I was in LA for 7 years, or 5 years. 6 years, split the difference, pursuing television and film. Mm-hmm. And I did, you know, I did some movies, I did some television, but I had kind of always resisted the musical theater aspect of my life because I had this, I guess, bad idea of, I wasn't really raised with musicals, so I thought they were, you know, a little bit like cheesy or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I got Margaritaville and went to Broadway for that, and decided to settle into this path and being a musical theater performer and then doing productions like Waitress. You're just, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not at all what I thought, what my stereotypes as a young man of musical theater was. Mm-hmm. It's grounded. It's real. It's true. And I'm blessed in this production to have, you know, people who aren't just incredible singers, but people who care deeply about telling this story and about you know, creating these moments on stage, which are very delicate.
Mm-hmm. So it's satisfying enough to make up for living out of a suitcase.
Yes, absolutely. And away from the wife, which
is the craziest thing. That's a bigger deal. Is she in New York? Or?
She's in New York, yeah.
Okay.
She's a kindergarten teacher.
A
kindergarten teacher.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, cool. Oh, good one. Yeah. Okay, so do you get a Christmas break from this show? right after this production?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
well,
nice.
I just found out it was just announced this morning that I'm going to be, we have a layoff for a week before Christmas and just after, and I'm going to be joining the Broadway company for that week as Dr. Pometer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
That's really great.
So I've read for Spokane.
Yeah. Stephen Good, Dr. Pometer in Waitress, which opened last night and runs with many, many performances through Sunday. The final performance is 6:30 on Sunday evening. Well, thanks a lot for spending some time with us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.